Hi, this is Simon Drew, and you're listening to the Walled Garden Podcast. This show belongs to the podcast network of the Walled Garden Philosophical Society, an international community of philosophers and seekers dedicated to the pursuit of truth, wisdom, virtue, and the divine, wherever they may be found. To find out more, go to thewalledgarden.com. But for now, let's caretake the gardens of our minds, one meaningful conversation at a time. Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of the Walled Garden Podcast. So some of you will know that Kai Whiting, one of the co-founders of the Walled Garden, has been involved in another non-profit organization called Wisdom Unlocked. They're doing wonderful work at the moment. They're preparing to go into the largest women's correctional facility in California and actually to take Stoic wisdom into the prison and run a few courses with the women there, which is really going to have a profound effect on their lives and their futures. And so in preparation for that, they are doing a whole bunch of fundraising at the moment, and I wanted to have a conversation with Santara Gonzalez. She is actually one of the co-founders of Wisdom Unlocked with Kai Whiting. And so in today's conversation, I'm just talking with Santara about how they started the organization, what the purpose of it is, what they're hoping to do in prisons, not only in California, but eventually around the world. It's such a meaningful work that they are doing, and we want to support them all the way. And before I jump into the conversation, I also want to let you know about an event that's coming up, actually put together by the team at Wisdom Unlocked. It's called Justice in the Cosmopolis, Stoicism and Prisons. And the event is going to be taking place on February 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, USA. And the admission is just by donation. And so all donations are going to be going towards Wisdom Unlocked and the programs that are coming up. And what's really cool about the event is the guest speakers who they have there. So take a listen to this. They've got Will Johncock. They've got Chris Fisher, William Stevens. They've got Professor Christopher Gill, Kai Whiting, obviously, and Santara. They've got Brittany Pollard. This is really an incredible lineup of speakers who they have at the event. So make sure you go to the link, which I've put in the show notes, and you can register there. So look, without any further ado, I want to present to you this conversation with Santara Gonzalez of Wisdom Unlocked. Santara, thank you so much for spending the time with me today. You know, we put this together because you've started this organization with Kai Whiting, obviously somebody who I have immense respect for, a partner in our own venture together in the Walled Garden, but called Wisdom Unlocked. And I guess there's many places we could start, but I'd like to start by just giving you an opportunity, seeing as this is your first time on the podcast, to introduce yourself, talk about who you are, what your background is, and then we'll get into Wisdom Unlocked and see see where the conversation takes us.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to speak with you. Great fan of your series that you did, the masterclass actually that you did with Kai Whiting and Leonidas Konstantakos, and being a student of your podcast. So it's an honor to be here on the other side. So I'm Santara Gonzalez, the executive director of Wisdom Unlocked. We founded Wisdom Unlocked at the end of 2021, and now are really in a position where we have been asked to take our programs, our organization, into the largest women's prison in the world, which happens to be the Central California Women's Facility in the Central Valley here in California. It's been a grind getting here, but it's been magical. It's been wonderful. We've had a lot of support, and I have 5 years of experience of running programs in incarcerated settings. And that was about 10 prisons throughout the state of California. So I started working with nonprofits in 2017. And once I was introduced to Stoicism and made Stoic practice and principles part of my DNA and how I move through the world, I realized that there's a lack of those tools, those teachings, and that mindset in programs that go into the California prison system. And I wanted to change that. And the only way that we could change that was to build our own. Mm. And so when I met Kai Whiting at an LA Stoic meetup group, that was really, I met him, the synergy was there, and he's the right person to do that with. Mm. So we've grown and we flourished, and we're super excited to be able to share our work, our vision, and why we want to take Stoicism into the incarcerated space with the listeners of the Walled Garden.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't agree more that Kai is the right person for that job. You know, he has such a big heart. He's such an advocate of this philosophy, and he's somebody who has taken it very seriously, taken it upon himself to really know the philosophy inside and out, and that helps so much. You know, obviously it comes out in his book as well. But before we dive into Wisdom Unlocked as well, I'm gonna get you just to tell me a little bit more about how you came to explore Stoicism in your life. You know, when was that point where you were introduced to it? And then, so you said that you were introduced to Kai at the LA Stoics meetup, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Well, tell me the story about you and Stoicism.
So I think for me, it happened like it happens for several people that I've talked to. I hit a very low point in my life. And, you know, when you hit that bottom, it's all about digging your way back up. And sometimes you actually have to stop digging, right? Because it's just going to cave in on you. So I was doing a lot of reading, and I wasn't finding that thing that gave me that key. And then I came across a book from a Stoic philosopher, a contemporary Stoic writer. And then I read this within 48 hours, and that was it. I never looked back. And then it was, how can I get more? How can I learn more? And besides that book, the first book I actually read was Seneca's Letters. Hmm. Difficult place to start for a novice, right? But it was just, I knew that Stoicism and Stoic philosophy held the key for me. It really, and the more I read, it really showed me that I am going to be able to turn challenges into opportunities, the pain I was feeling into growth, and the loss that I was feeling into a sense of purpose. And that was something I carried within me. You know, Marcus Aurelius tells us, you know, think as if the life that you've lived is over. And now we go forward. You know, it was really about the life that I had lived up to that point was over. And Stoicism gave me that second push. Immensely grateful to the philosophy, to the writers, to Zeno. And because it's so powerful for me and it worked for me, that I want to share this. I want to share it with people who don't have access to it and who may need it the most. So it's almost this personal mission that I have, because I don't know if I would be as fearless and powerful and empowered and ready to lead an organization if I wouldn't have encountered stoicism. So it really changed my life.
Yeah.
And I want to share that.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned being grateful for Zeno. I think also just, shouldn't we all be grateful for and indebted to, we are all indebted to, just those people in history who decide, well, you know, philosophers, they play such an interesting part in the play of life. Mm. You know, they're these strange creatures who come along every so often and think, ah, there's a better way of doing this.
Yep.
You know, and they present that to the world. And, you know, philosophy goes so far in terms of the reach of a great idea, a great principle, a great set of ideas like Stoicism. And, you know, one of the things that I was thinking before I jumped on this conversation with you was, what's so beautiful is that you guys have managed to remember the feelings that you had when you were introduced to Stoicism and how much of a revelation it was to you, these profound ideas that can help you to live a much more meaningful life or to interact with life in a much more meaningful way. And you're saying, we want more people to feel that thing. Because I find that sometimes it's difficult just to remember the feelings that you had when you were a novice, like you say. Because those things can tend to fade away, you know, or you can kind of take them for granted. But for people who are, you know, in and out of prison or, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it, you know, kind of at the bottom of the rung of the social hierarchy, you know, like they find themselves in prison, you know, they've had a rough life, you know, maybe nobody's shared profound ideas with them like this. And it just, what a profoundly useful service you guys will be doing here. Have you already been into prisons too, or is this your kind of, like, you've been building up to this since you started?
Yeah. So with Wisdom Unlocked, we have been invited into the Central California Women's Facility. So we are going to be doing our first event on March 5th. Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting, because we're going to do an introductory event, because you have to introduce Stoicism. You just can't jump into an 11-week cohort. And what we're doing is we're introducing the principles of the dichotomy of control. And we are really going to provide tools for the incarcerated women so that they can learn to take control of their life, mm-hmm. despite their incarceration.
Yeah.
Right. And what we want them to learn is that they can get some deeper insight into their emotions. Why am I feeling this way? What is really at the bottom of this, right? Why am I being triggered? Are my perceptions faulty? Right? All of those things that Epictetus is asking us to do as well, right? Test your perceptions. Then we want to help them curb their inner conflict. There's a lot of conflict going on about not being able to be with your family and your loved ones. There's a lot of trauma that then brings up negative emotions. We want to help them strengthen their character. So these are some of the things that we're going to be covering in our March 5th event. Mm. It's probably going to be 2 days. We're going to be speaking to three groups, 60 women plus. So 60 is probably the minimum that we're going to get. And the beautiful thing is that we've also been asked to provide materials for the women that are in administrative segregation. Basically, they're in isolation and they have no contact, so that we can provide materials to them so that they can also have access. One of our beliefs is that no one should be left behind. Stoicism should be made available to anyone who wishes to read the principles, live their life according to Stoicism. It's their choice, but we at least want to make it accessible. So that's what that first event is about. And the second thing that we want to do this summer is bring our Ancient Wisdom New Ways 11-week program into CCWF as well.
I love it. And what was the path like getting to this point where you've got your first events booked in? Because I've only been in California for a few months now, but I know that they love their bureaucracy, you know, their paperwork, right, their rules, their procedures, all this sort of stuff, regulations. How difficult has it been getting to this point finally where you can say as an organization, okay, we're off the ground, we've got our plans together, you know, and this is actually going to happen?
Well, you know, I think Zeus was working for us. I have to admit, because we've been working so hard, and it was a correctional officer at that prison who heard a podcast I had the privilege of speaking on. So the right person, the right moment, listening to that podcast, immediately sent an email and let us know that he's a practicing Stoic and wanting to learn more, and that he was always asked about philosophy and how it could help the women in that prison. And his first thought was, I'm probably not the best person to teach this to you. And then he heard the podcast. I was on the Practical Stoic. Practical Stoicism.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yep. And so, you know, Tanner gave us that opportunity, and this correctional officer heard that podcast, and it was off to the races. So we really were able to bypass all of that. And, you know, we're self-funded. So that helps. We work on fundraising and donations, and donations allow us to do our work. So we bypass a little bit of that red tape. But it was right moment, right person. And sometimes it happens that way. So we were very, very fortunate of the opportunity that we've been presented with. So we definitely want to make the most of it and serve the incarcerated women as much as we can and as best as we can.
Yeah. And that's beautiful. I love it. You know, and I feel like that's so often how it happens, right? You put a phenomenal intention out into the world. So this is what we're trying to achieve. Who's with us, you know? And you can kind of get into this groove where it starts to feel almost like there is a kind of conspiracy for your favor, you know, within the universe. And it's, I really think that it has to do with the power of that intention, because if your intention is so pure, so honorable, right, you're going to attract people who are on that same wavelength, where they're thinking, I want to be around these kinds of people who want to do good in the world, who want to contribute meaningfully, you know, want to change the lives of others in positive ways. And I think that something happens when you're that kind of person, and when you're putting that out into the world, that people hear that and they think, yeah, I'm on board with that. And I'm so excited to see where you guys go with this. What are you hoping for the future in terms of, you know, where you can go with this? You're obviously wanting to expand outside of California. You know, I know that, you know, you focus on where you are right now, but what do you want for this organization long-term?
What I want, and this is something that I envision every day, is just, I know where we are and I know where we want to go. So we definitely want to be in every adult prison in the state of California. Mm-hmm. I think Stoicism would also be a value in juvenile halls, in youth detention centers, if we can mitigate some of that trauma for the young, teach Stoic principles to the young on their level, understanding where they are. We may really be able to mitigate some pain and damage down the line. That is really when I look at the men, incarcerated men and women in prisons, and that trauma has led to some of the actions that have led them to incarceration and behave in patterns that led to incarceration. There's a lot of that begins in childhood. So if we can also develop something for juvenile hall, for youth detention centers, that would be amazing. So that we're not only working with adults, we're also working with youth. Let's get K-12 California covered, and then we'll branch out. Yeah. Then we'll branch out, right? But it's really not limiting ourselves to one, oh, we're only going to teach this in women's prisons, or only going to teach this in men's prisons. It's about really, again, being inclusive and pulling people into our circle of concern and pulling them closer and not pushing them away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that, you know, that even the Stoic principles are a part of, you know, they're obviously they're going to be at the core of your whole mission as an organization. But I love that use of the circles of concern, pulling more people into that, you know, because you're so right. You know, these principles are so valuable, especially for youth. I mean, with all of the stuff that they have to deal with today, the kind of strange world that they're entering, you know, so much change constantly, so much it's a massive load that they're all going to be lifting, you know, in this hyper complex world that we live in. And to give them those tools that can help them to understand how they can move forward with, you know, with, you know, a sense of, I don't want to say control. I think it's the wrong word. You know, it's a sense of, and even a sense of empowerment sounds wrong. But a sense that they can take on whatever comes their way, you know, no matter what it is, they have the tools at their disposal to be able to manage their way through this complex landscape, you know.
Exactly. And I think it's also, and it's perfect what you said. It's also, I think, providing them with a sense of self and to be able to question things. There's so many different opinions and trends and who you sit with at the lunch table, right? Who's got the coolest kicks? Who's got the best phone? And that materialistic things become part of an identity, and that becomes part of defining who you are. And to be able to strip that away is something, and to realize that your opinion, who you are, your sense of self really doesn't rely on the opinion of others. I think it's very crucial at that age. Mm. And so I know that for me when growing up, right? And then also you have the bullying. How do you deal with bullies? You know, I think Stoicism can really provide those tools that you can just walk away. Sometimes you just walk away. And that's a show of strength, because it takes a strong person to do that. You got to dig real deep to just walk away. Mm-hmm. And I think these are beautiful tools, and they're not taught in schools. We don't see Stoicism for youth handbooks being written or handed out or in libraries. It's just not accessible. Let's make it accessible. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be part of our overall mission.
Yeah.
It's about healing as well. It's really about healing. And I do like the word empower, because we have so much inside of us. We just have to keep digging, right? There's a well of goodness inside of us. And the more we dig, the more it comes up. And it's about providing those tools so they can start digging.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. It's such a beautiful mission that you guys are on. And you know, I wonder, it's funny because this is such a beautiful moment for the Stoic philosophy, right? But it's such a strange thing that's going on right now. It's so weird because, you know, usually I guess you'd see these organizations popping up that have these like real kind of, you might say, philosophical or theological backgrounds. You know, maybe they're coming majority from religious organizations, things like that. But you know, nobody's coming out there necessarily with Nietzsche's philosophy going into prisons. You know, Stoicism, it's a very practical philosophy that has a whole system around it that if you understand all these parts, then it can kind of give you like a real firm foundation for your life in the same way that a religion might. And then on top of that, it's having this real like uptake at the moment, which means that it's extremely marketable, which, you know, people hear about it, they immediately know, oh yeah, Stoicism, you know. So Getting in front of people, is it a lot? It's you know, a lot easier because there's so many places you can point to. But what I love is that you guys are really on the forefront here of these organizations that are popping up now using Stoic principles and saying, you know, we're really aligned with this philosophy. It's incredibly helpful, and we are going to spread this more. And I'm so interested to see, right, where this goes 10, 20, 30 years down the line. I'm fascinated. I'm kind of watching non-judgmentally, just kind of thinking, what becomes of Stoicism, you know, now that it's having this renaissance? I don't know. What do you think? You know, because it seems like the past 10 years, it's just blown up in so many ways.
I think it has. And I think, to be honest, you know, having to live through a pandemic for 2 years really kind of gave it another push, right? I think it gave a lot of philosophies that are out there a big push. We were isolated, right? We couldn't go to shops after 6 o'clock here in California. You weren't, the freeways were empty. You were just isolated in your home. And it was about that enough can do somebody's head in. Right. Even if you have a healthy mindset. And then I think a lot of things that happened was people being laid off from work, you know, losing income. And it was just one calamity after the other. And again, you have to find something. And that's when, you know, an upsurge in books, people were reading more philosophy. And like you said, it was almost like this renaissance, right, of these different philosophies and thought processes, and people were trying to find something that was going to help them through what was seemed like a never-ending circumstance. And I do want to be careful, because we have philosophies out there, and then we have philosophies out there. There's a difference, right? We're not selling snake oil. We're not pushing a diluted form of Stoicism. And while I understand that that works for some audiences, for what we're trying to do, it doesn't work. Because we believe you have to do the hard work. There's no quick fix. You really have to get to know yourself, know what moves you and how you want to move through the world before these principles can actually take hold and before they can become empowering. So there is a hard element of work that one has to do. And Stoicism isn't for the faint at heart. And I think that's missed sometimes, right? It's not an easy philosophy. It really makes you check yourself in every instant. Am I doing this the right thing right now? Am I doing what's appropriate right now? You're constantly being asked to check yourself. And that's not easy. But it is so worthwhile once you really practice it. So I do believe that there's a renaissance. I think we also need to be not critical, but we need to be, you know, vigilant and cautious that we're choosing the right philosophy for us. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be helpful for us in the long run and not just look for a quick fix.
Yeah. I think certainly about picking the right teachers as well. You know, yes. I know from a few years back, I think maybe a couple of years back, I know that you kind of made a beeline for Kai, you know, and
immediately,
because you could tell that he was a teacher who really cared about the details. And I thought that that was very intelligent on your part, you know, and I think you're right. You know, in a time where there's so much popularity around these things, does it get reduced to just a few quotes on TikTok or, you know, but you're right. You have to do the difficult work of going within, exploring this philosophy, seeing how it actually relates to you and your mind, your soul, and also just the new set of language, right, that you have to put together. You know, I remember hearing, this was quite a while ago, and it was a video from the 80s, so take it with a massive grain of salt, but he was talking about how they had discovered that one of the massive correlations with people who were imprisoned was a lower vocabulary, you know, which would make perfect sense because, you know, getting more words in your vocabulary is going to help you to see more, know more, understand more about what reality is and how you play a part in it. And so I think that is just equally, it's so core to what you guys are doing, is going in there and teaching this new set of language. How does this relate to that? How does that relate to this? You know, how do the pieces of this philosophical puzzle fit with each other? Could you maybe just talk to me a little bit more about the various programs that you guys are offering, what you'll expect to be doing and over what time period? I think you said 11 weeks, but you'll go into detail there. And then I know that you guys are looking for whatever support you can get at the moment to get this up off the ground and running. And I really want to see this to be a massive success because I think it's going to be brilliant. So tell us more about that as well and how people can support you guys.
Thank you. You know, you touched upon something, and it's about the literacy rate. And this is something that we are very, very conscious of, because it's about meeting people where they are. I'm coming to your house. So I'm not going to come into your house with all these fancy words, because we don't want to make someone feel less than, or to the point where, how am I ever going to understand philosophy? I didn't graduate high school. It doesn't matter if you graduated or not. We've written our materials that are very understandable. Kai even says we have to get this down to a fifth grade level, because it's about making it accessible. If I go in there and I use words like prokopton, I'm not making the philosophy accessible. So that's something we're very conscious of when we write our curricula, which we have written for our programs, when we write the materials, our handbooks. It's really accessible to any reading level. So because I understand that that is a question, right? How do you take this philosophy and distill it in language, but still adhere to the principles and share those principles?
Yeah. I'm so happy to hear that, you know, yes, and just absolutely. To hear you talk about, you know, getting it to the right level where it's completely understandable. Man, that is awesome to hear. Yeah. Yeah. You guys, it's about accessibility. So I'm so excited for you. I just see where this goes. Seriously. It's phenomenal. Anyway, go on.
So we have three programs right now. We're doing Ancient Wisdom, New Ways, which is our, let's say, Stoicism 101. It's our introduction to Stoicism. It's an 11-week program. Well, it's about 9 weeks, and we wrote a bespoke handbook that goes along with Kai and Leo's book, Being Better. We have a handbook. Then we also have articles that we're using that we've published ourselves. And it's week by week. We have a lesson, then we have a discussion, and we have some homework. Everyone gets their course materials. We provide all the course materials, including a journal, so they can write down their thoughts and do some reading when they get back to their house. We're very inclusive with language. We don't call it a cell. It's their house. So that is then 9 weeks. Week 10, we start an intro into conflict resolution, because that's our second program that we offer. And then week 11 is the graduation, where we serve cake and drinks, and everyone gets a certificate of completion. Those are very, very important. The wonderful thing is that the Central California Women's Facility is assigning our program credits, which means that these credits, these hours that the students participate in our program, they get time off their sentence. For every 50 hours, I believe it's 10 days off their sentence. So it's amazing for them. We're teaching them a philosophy, which they can then apply inside of the prison and then when they come home, right? Yeah. So that's our Ancient Wisdom, New Ways program. And we have then the Care Not Conflict, and that is our conflict resolution program. That is also 11 weeks. And this is where we use the Socratic method to teach participants that they can view problems from different perspectives. And when we view problems from a different perspective, we then develop some very creative ideas, right, or strategies to deal with these problems, especially when you're in a prison setting where there's a lot of group dynamics that go on, right? And helping them use those strategies to navigate those dynamics, which is why it's care, not conflict. Let's care for each other. Let's listen to each other and find ways to work through our differences instead of immediately going into conflict, which in that setting may just be an instinctive reaction. Then we have our Life Unlocked program. And this is where we meet men and women at the prisons. We pick them up. We give them a backpack full of goodies. And then we drive them either home or to their destination, which could be a sober living facility, which could be a transitional housing, or a place that has the provides programming for the formerly incarcerated, where they sometimes stay for 6 months. And it's about picking them up and taking them for a warm meal, because that's where the work begins, right? And one of the most magical questions that I love to ask is, where would you like to eat? Just that, for you and I, Simon, that question it's a basic question. But for someone who's been incarcerated for a decade or more, that opens up choice. So we're returning agency, which is also something that we strive to do. We then have that warm meal. We then take them shopping for some clothing. Some of them don't have families that can support them with clothing. So we take them shopping. Again, how would you like to dress? What would you like to wear? Restoring that agency from the first instant, providing them with the opportunity to call their loved ones. And all of that happens when they come out. So we really embrace them again into our circle of concern right when that gate opens. Mm-hmm. And then we can also provide referral services if they need services to get their vital documents, such as an ID card, a birth certificate, social security card. We help with that. If they need referrals to driving lessons, helping to get health insurance, social security, depending on the age. I had the pleasure to pick up a lady that was incarcerated for 40 years and was able to help her get all of the benefits that she was eligible for as a senior lady. So it's just helping them on that journey, on their reentry journey, and sticking with them, sticking by them, and continuing to have those conversations and being there and holding that space whenever they need it. So that's our Life Unlocked program.
Man, you can just tell that you guys have spent so much time thinking about, you know, what is going to be the best way, not only to educate, but then to integrate, you know, yes, into the world. And I love the way you're thinking about this. And you're really pioneering, you know, this is what Stoicism can look like in the modern age. It can look like, you know, going and helping the people who, like we talk about, are just, you know, right there amongst the people who are just struggling the most in our society, you know, to really be a part of this beautiful society that could be great for them if they knew how to really integrate in the right way, you know. And so I'm excited for you guys, and just how can we support, you know, how can people out there actually go and support what you guys are doing?
Please donate. Please donate. Go to our website, wisdomunlocked.org. You can choose which program you want to donate to. You can donate to a specific program or just overall to the organization. All of the money goes to programming, or for Life Unlocked, the backpacks, helping to buy that pair of shoes, helping to buy snacks. We break it down what your contribution actually goes to, so that especially for a Life Unlocked program, $5 will get the snack packs, $10 will get a hygiene kit, because we want to leave it up to you and be completely transparent what people are donating to. Everything goes directly to the programs and to the men and women that we serve. You know, Kai told me in our first conversations, Stoicism is a philosophy of action. And for us, this is what action looks like. It's about meeting people where they are. It's not about being judgmental. It's not about picking and choosing. I'm going to help this group of people, but not that group of people. It's fine if people choose to do that. We're not judging. It's just for us, we have a different approach. And we just want to expand our circle until it bursts, right? So, and keep pulling people closer. So donations are the life force of our programs and our organization.
Yeah. Amen to all that, Santara. Thank you so much for what you're doing. I'm excited for you guys. I think that this is exactly the way that Stoicism can lift the world, you know, when good people come together and say, let's do some good, you know, let's really try and make a difference. So thank you for what you're doing. And I hope that we get to have you on the podcast again and again, and to keep on hearing updates about how the organization is going. So again, that was wisdomunlocked.org. Am I right?
Yes.
Excellent. And is there a specific donate link, or just say, go to the website, you'll find the donate link. It'll be
A donate button on the homepage. Wonderful. Underneath each program. And then there's also a donate button that goes to a specific donate page on our website.
Amazing. Thank you, Santara.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Walled Garden Podcast. Remember that this show is a part of the podcast network of the Walled Garden Philosophical Society. If you consider yourself to be a seeker of understanding, of wisdom, a cultivator of virtue, then we want to learn and grow with you. Just head over to thewalledgarden.com to find out more. We'll see you there, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.